Hi, guys. Jason Agnew here from Sunday Night's Main Event. Appreciate you downloading. Appreciate you listening each and every week. And if you can do us a favor and just give the show a rating in your podcatcher on iTunes. I mean, 5 stars would be great, but I don't want to tell you what to do. It would just be nice if we managed to get the ratings up. And if we do that, more people listen. That's awesome. Okay, here we go into this week's show.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE continues on with their talent diet plan, but are they slimming down to find a new suitor? We'll talk about it here tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across Canada on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and once again this week, we'll be spending the majority of our time talking about the industry outside the squared circle, with WWE releasing 6 more talent and a couple of them very surprising names. We'll also chat with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter and get his take on Andrade's debut in AEW, as well as WWE confirming SummerSlam on a Saturday night in a very large Vegas venue. Then All Elite Weekly host Joe Aguinaldo will join me to round out the show and give his take on the week that was, including the repetitive nature of WWE programming. So, wait. Programming's repetitive, but since we already see the same people every week, oh yeah, let's release more talent. Okay, that makes sense. That is all to come here tonight, but first, let's fill you in on the week that was in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Obviously, the big news of the week took place this past Wednesday with WWE releasing 6 more performers. The list this week: Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Lana, Murphy, Ruby Riott, and one of my favorites, Santana Garrett. She never even got a chance. I gotta say, Braun Strowman is extremely surprising to me. Aleister Black also just started with an angle with Big E on SmackDown. Lana is handcrafted to now be handed to AEW. Ruby Riott's a good worker with a great image that they never did anything with. Buddy Murphy is better than what he was given, and my heart was broken as my eternal crush on Santana Garrett continues, and I'm sad she never got her shot. All of them posted some very positive remarks on their Twitter about their time in WWE. I'm going to save you reading them all out here on the show because, let's be honest, nothing's really notable. Naturally, we'll go through the finer points of the releases with Dave Meltzer in the next segment. Now, a previous release from WWE debuted in AEW this past Friday night. Yep, Andrade is All Elite. As Mark Henry and Tony Schiavone were talking in the ring on the show, Vicky Guerrero came in and booted them both out. She then introduced the debuting Andrade, who's going by the name Andrade El Idolo outside of WWE. Andrade then cut a short promo where he said that he used to say he was the face of Latinos, but today he will say he will be the new face of All Elite Wrestling. AEW later confirmed that he had officially signed with the company. Later in the show, Joe Aguinaldo, host of the All Elite Weekly podcast, will be along to chat about the introduction of Andrade and potential pairing with Vicky Guerrero. He's gone from Zelina Vega to Vicky Guerrero. Yikes. Hey, remember all the speculation last week about who would be number 21 in the Casino Battle Royal? Yeah, well, Andrade's name did pop up there a lot. Well, then we got Leo Rush, a disappointment to some, albeit eclipsed by the incredible Jungle Boy win, which was fantastic. Now, nonetheless, the deal with Leo Rush is that he's actually under a New Japan contract, and Tony Khan had to ask permission before Leo could appear on the show. It's unknown whether Rush will appear again in AEW in the future. At the post-event Scrum, AEW founder and booker Tony Khan said he and Rush have worked out a handshake deal where he can work in both AEW and New Japan, indicating a return could be in the cards for the future. Now, speaking about people shifting in and out of AEW, on Busted Open Radio earlier this week, Billy Corgan discussed Nick Aldis potentially appearing on AEW programming, saying, "I've pitched it to Tony a few times about Nick Aldis coming over. It's Tony's world. I respect him for what he's building, but yeah, look, I'll say it again, Nick versus Cody Rhodes for a third time. I mean, that is an epic, epic matchup waiting to happen." So, friends, I think that's one that we are all looking forward to if it could be in place. And actually, I'd one-up Billy Corgan there because I think Nick Aldis and Kenny Omega, there's something to be said for that as well. A couple minor AEW notes from earlier in the week. The AEW contracts for both Shanna and Awesome Kong were not renewed. Both were removed off the company's roster page over the weekend, raising questions about their status. Now, the last time we saw Shanna was on an early April Elevation show, and Kong hasn't been around since the disaster of a Nightmare Collective angle in January of 2020. She appeared in an episode of AEW Dark. Now, she's been plagued with back injuries. We know that story. This has been around for many years. Her mobility has been drastically reduced. Plus, you know, she was great in GLOW, so hopefully, despite the cancellation of that series, she'll find other ways to work in Hollywood and maybe leave the ring behind at this point. A note of resurfacing in Impact Wrestling, the first of what could be more names coming to Impact made their presence felt on Thursday as Steve Macklin debuted in the show in a vignette. Now, Macklin is the former Steve Cutler in WWE and the boyfriend of Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo. The vignette was done in like an old-time film reel style, and it showed Macklin with his feet up on a desk with some documents drinking Jameson whiskey. Mark Andrada approved. And there was like Frank Sinatra lounging music style playing. He then stared at the camera, and the film quickly changes with a yell heard. The title screen then said Macklin and a skull. That's a strange vignette. That's what they're doing. His debut date yet to be announced. ROH's Tracy Williams is recovering after being hit by a car. Williams wrote on Twitter that he was crossing the street with his dog when he was full-on hit by a car. He said the car was going about 25 miles per hour and he flew for a while after being hit. He was happy his dog did not get hurt. Williams later wrote that he was recovering at home. And finally, touched on the NWA earlier? Well, let's touch on it again. The NWA turns for their second post-pandemic pay-per-view with this afternoon's When Our Shadows Fall. So when some of you are listening to it, this event may be done. The reason why I mention it, in case you want to see or have already watched Nick Aldis defend the NWA title against Trevor Murdoch, you can now catch up with Boris and Matt. Our NXT talk host will have a podcast review of the event, which will be posted Monday, somewhere around noon. You can get it at patreon.com/SNMEradio. The guys will break down what's happening in NWA. And at this point in the world of anything outside WWE, you never know what's going to happen. You never know who may show up at these events. I'm not hinting towards anything. I'm legit just saying. The forbidden door. You know what I'm saying? Who knows what's on Tony's brain? We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into the news with Dave Meltzer. There is lots to talk about as far as WWE goes, primarily outside the ring, but comings and goings is at an absolute epic level. Like, not since WCW and WWE have we seen this much talent move around in the industry. So we'll talk to Dave about that next. Turnbuckle Trivia and Joe Aguinaldo still to come on tonight's show as well. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box, a whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you're not getting enough wrestling just on Sunday nights, keep in mind, we do shows each and every day on our Patreon. Join us at patreon.com/SNMEradio and get coverage of everything that goes on in the world of wrestling, including reviews of Monday Night Raw, AEW Dynamite, and NXT. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who is back? Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Taking a deep dive into this week in news with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, I know you've been talking about it all week, but listen, it's big news. These six talent being released, including Braun Strowman, to me, shocking. It came out of the blue when I saw that headline.
Yeah, I would not have expected Braun Strowman to be released. But when they did, I can kind of understand it because it's a big salary and they've got Omos on that brand, and Shanky they may or may not be using because they used him and then they kind of forgot about it. But they're so much bigger than him. And the only thing that gets Braun over is that he's really big. I mean, it's nothing else is particularly special about him. And when you put Omos in there, who's, what, 9 inches taller?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like he can't be a giant anymore. He becomes obsolete, and he's got, you know, a $1.2 million guarantee. And from what I understand, he actually has made with merch and things like that, more than that. So it's a huge salary cut. So that was kind of the thing that happened. You know, it was, as soon as I saw Omos, it was kind of like, you know, you realize that you can't market Braun as a monster when you got this guy on the same show. And when you got Aziz on the other show, you know, these guys are a lot bigger than him. And, you know, all of a sudden that's his gimmick. You know, it is the same thing. When Haystacks Calhoun was this big touring gimmick who went everywhere, and then Andre shows up, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, people would rather see the more impressive, bigger guy, you know, when that's your only gimmick.
And, you know, in the past, we've seen this kind of changing of the guard for big man with Big Show and Braun Strowman, but they did work together. I guess there was just concern about putting Braun in the ring with Aziz and Omos and the disaster that could have been.
Well, they did do, Braun did wrestle Aziz, but everyone forgot about it, and they kept it real quick. That was a long time ago. But yeah, with Omos and Braun, I think, would be a horrible match, whereas Braun with Big Show, because it actually worked out that they had, one of their matches was actually great and another one was good. So that worked. This one wouldn't work. And so, you know, I mean, the whole thing was, and, you know, Big Show does the job on the way out, passes the torch to the next big guy. And I don't know, Braun may not, you know, Big Show was also older at the time and understood. And, you know, Braun, you know, I don't know. You know, the thing is that Braun and Omos is a terrible match, and so why do it?
So, okay, so Strowman, Black, Lana, Santana, Garrett, Buddy Murphy, Ruby Riot. Immediately, people are going to be asking questions of where do they go, what do they do? Strowman's actually the most interesting case here because where does he go? What could he do? He's a WWE homegrown, where all of the others, well, aside from Lana maybe, you know, have history out there working for other companies. Braun might be in a bit of a tough spot here because I honestly don't know if AEW would be all that interested.
Yeah, I don't know what Tony Khan's mentality will be because he was a big star. So you always, like, there's always that thing of, like, he's a big star and he's a big name, but I don't know that he's a positive on your product because your product's a different product. But I could see Tony Khan bringing him in, but I could also see Tony Khan saying, no, it's not worth it. And I could also see the idea of maybe bring him in, but is he worth that money and will he work for less money? There's so many questions involved. So yeah, I would say of all of them, he is the biggest question mark. The rest of them will get work somewhere. I mean, he can get work anywhere too, but not at the money he's used to.
Right, right.
Now, if he loves wrestling, and, you know, like, look, Braun Strowman can go to New Japan and be a big star.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, going to New Japan, there's not a lot of money there, and it's impossible to get over there because of the pandemic, but that hopefully won't be forever. But, I mean, he'd fit in because they could use a monster. Like, he could go there. But does he want to do that? And I don't know the answer. He's said many times that he'll never work for anyone but WWE. Of course, a lot of people say that when they think that they've got, like, a five-year contract with WWE, and all of a sudden they realize that they, when they were negotiating that contract, they should have put in a no-cut clause, which, you know, granted, most of them couldn't have gotten because Vince would have said, no, take it or leave it. He probably could have. He was a big enough star at the time he signed. But, you know, you don't envision that you're on the top of the card that they're ever going to want to cut you. But they did. Things happened. Things changed.
If Strowman's in AEW, I don't want to see him anywhere near someone like Wardlow, though, because, yeah, you know, that is their big guy, and he's way, way bigger than Wardlow.
He's way bigger than Wardlow, and Wardlow's got more upside, I think, than him at this stage of the game. I can't say that 100% because it's possible. You know, I don't know. You know, it's like you don't know. You got to remember, AEW and WWE are different fan bases, and they have different wants. And the WWE fan base is not going to move to AEW. I mean, I think this Friday, the last two Fridays have shown that.
Right.
The crossover between the two companies is so low that it's almost shocking low. So the reality is they're different. It's funny because with NXT and AEW, there was a big crossover, which you could see in every single commercial break when 200,000 people were switching channels, which is a lot. But with SmackDown, it's really not. So now what that means as far as, you know, I mean, it's like, there's no correct answer. Strowman might be able to come into AEW and be a big, big, big star, you know, something new, but he might not. And it's going to cost you a lot to find out. And, you know, like, yeah, their big guy is Wardlow, who's 6'3", and the other guy's, you know, 6'6", probably. But 6'6", and, you know, 345 pounds when he's in his best shape, and 385 when he's not dieting as hard. And, you know, Wardlow's probably 260, you know what I mean, or 270,
yeah,
or whatever he really is. And, yeah, he's a giant. He's so much bigger, and it will ruin the giant idea of Wardlow or any of their big guys that they have, you know, because just as almost ruins Strowman.
Right, yep. Well, Dave, this week, I mean, the thing is with AEW, we just keep talking about WWE guys going over. This week we got Andrade. Along with that, you and I haven't had time to connect and chat about Mark Henry being there. And then for some reason that I can't explain, got Vicky Guerrero thrown into the mix. So I'm staring at Vicky Guerrero and Mark Henry in the ring together on AEW, and then Andrade coming out. Oh, there's a tipping point that they are dangerously close to if they have not already gone over.
Yeah, but it was one segment. But, you know, I mean, so many people remarked that to me, and when I was watching it, I kind of felt the same. I don't know that Vicky Guerrero was a good spot for Vicky Guerrero. Mark Henry, you know, he's going to be an announcer, and he may be, you know, it's up to him. If he's good, he's good, and if he's not, he's not. And I like Mark Henry, and I have no qualms at all of Mark Henry being part of AEW if you can use him. And as far as, you know, the announcer who does an angle once a year, you know, comes in and does a couple of match program, again, it always worked with Booker T. It always worked with Taz. It always worked with, you know, every color commentator, Gene LaBelle going back a million years. I mean, it's like that's a role that usually works, and you know, he can do it. And he's in good shape for all things considered. He's a lot lighter, so I don't have anything with that. And Andrade's a great, great talent. It's just a question of, you know, he's going to have to work at the, you know, that. The standard in AEW is very high. You know, I mean, when you got like Rey Fénix, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like and those type of guys, it's a high standard. But Andrade is a great talent, and with the right mouthpiece, and I would not have Vicky Guerrero be that mouthpiece, but with the right mouthpiece, he was very effective in NXT. In the main roster, he was not, but I don't blame that on him at all. So it's like the potential is certainly there. Like when he was a free agent and left, I mean, it would be, I would have had zero qualms as far as like, okay, he's a guy, him and Aleister Black, Tommy End. I mean, I would have no qualms about going. Strowman is a question mark. Buddy Murphy is a great talent, but I don't know. I mean, it's like for a guy, just to be a guy on the roster, yes. It's always good to have a guy like that on the roster you can throw in there. You know, like a Matt Sydal, right? You know, you throw him in and he you can put him against Kenny Omega and Adam Page or MJF or whatever, and they'll go in there and they'll give you this great match, but we're not going to push him to the moon. And I'm not saying that Buddy Murphy has no potential to be pushed to the moon, but there's always room for someone in that role, and Buddy Murphy's a talent, so I could see him as well.
Dave, with Andrade, I'm guessing he was not, even though he came like the week after the Battle Royal, I'm guessing he wasn't debuted there because they didn't want to put him in and immediately have him lose like Leo Rush did when the plan was for Jungle Boy.
Right. You know, when you really think about it, it makes no sense because if he had debuted in that spot, and I thought there was a good chance that he would.
Yeah.
It was like, but if he doesn't win, what's the point?
Especially because, he has the program built.
Leo Rush was fine. It's somebody new. It's a surprise. Some people were disappointed. But the thing is like, Leo Rush is a New Japan guy. So beating him, it's not, and he just got thrown over the top rope. It's not even like he did a job. But beating Leo Rush doesn't hurt anybody, and it's not going to hurt his momentum because it's fine for Leo Rush. Nobody's expecting it. But Andrade needed a bigger debut. I don't know what that debut is, but, in theory, it should be on TV in the next 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to WWE here with all the releases, the slimming down of talent, the changing of the guard in the office, the combining of different divisions. There's so many rumors out there of WWE being for sale. It seems weird to talk about, Dave, because in my head, covering this for all the years that I have, I just always envisioned Vince McMahon passing this company down like royalty as opposed to selling it off to the highest bidder.
I watched the same thing happen in UFC. I never envisioned the Fertittas ever giving it up. I thought that was going to be, especially Lorenzo, I thought that was going to be Lorenzo's life. I created a major sport.
Mm-hmm.
I own a major sport. You can't own boxing, but I own a major sport. And he sold it. It was just like, he got his $4 billion, his family did.
Right.
It wasn't just him. I mean, Dana got money and all the different people got money, but he did. And with Vince, it's like, ever since that happened, which was 2016, I know in WWE, it was like, my God, if we could get $4 billion, they would have sold for $4 billion that year, no questions asked, but nobody offered it. If somebody makes the right offer, absolutely they're going to sell. That's not even a question if it's the right, and it always is. And, George Barrios used to always say that. It's like we're open for any offer, is a sale imminent? I don't see any evidence that a sale's imminent. That doesn't mean it isn't. That UFC sale, I did know about the UFC sale all the way through, but when I look back, it's like most of the reporters didn't think it was happening, even until the end. And even in the end, it was like, oh, well, they're only going to sell a percentage. And I know I'd seen the paperwork. They're selling 100% of this company. But it was a fluke that I got that. And it's like, so you would think in wrestling where, stuff comes out that we would know, but that's not necessarily the case. But I have no evidence that they're doing it. I know people in the company have directly told me that they're not looking to sell it right now, and I can believe that. And timing-wise, really, 2025 is maybe the right time, not 2021, for a bunch of different reasons, and especially because of who the bidders in theory could be.
Right.
Because you'd have all the contracts at stake, and that's
right.
When like, for an NBC Universal or a Fox, might as well just buy the thing instead of spend hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion a year on it.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so, let's talk about the here and now. You cut six talent. We have got NXT next week, and this is a tailor-made match for Karrion Kross to lose the title without being pinned. That's kind of what I think is going to happen here, because Karrion Kross has been destined for the main roster since he debuted. Do you foresee that?
Oh, it very well could happen, yeah. Yeah, it could happen. I used to try to think about like how someone will do on the main roster, but then after a couple of years of guys flopping that are so good, I just don't even want to think about it, because it's just, you know, Vince only has faith in the older guys, and you know, he'll always find flaws in the younger guys. I don't know what that is, but it's just the case. I mean, when you look at that roster, and you know, like, is there any male wrestler under 30 that's, you know, getting any real push? I mean, Dominic, but the only reason Dominic is because he's tag team with his father. You know, there's really, it's like, so, I can't even up top my head. I think Kross is probably early 30s anyway.
He's 35, Dave. I looked it up as you were talking.
That's older than I thought. Wow.
So perfect. Vince will have a ton of confidence in him.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the legacy there. That's
true.
The thing that Vince looks for is a legacy there. Wow, Kross is already 35. Yeah, because I met Kross years ago.
Yep.
You know, so I know he's not a young guy. He was bouncing around the Vegas Indies.
Yeah. I was talking to Sin about him a few weeks ago. So, okay. Anyway, so I could very well see that happen. I think we're on the same page for that one. Let's talk progressing to SummerSlam. We know it's going to be on a Saturday. We know it's at the big stadium. And also, amazingly this week, Brock Lesnar's name starts popping up here and there. Do you get the feeling that because of the big stadium, it's a Brock-type card? And a Cena-type card, for that matter. We didn't talk about that last week. Both of those names are popping up a lot recently.
My impression is that Reigns and Cena is happening. I don't know that 100%. Nobody's confirmed it. But when I ask, nobody ever denies it. Lesnar, they deny. So I know, in fact, I could go so far as to say, as of a week ago, Lesnar and Lashley was not on. Now, I was, you know, it can always change. They can always call him. They can always offer him money. He will do it. You know what I mean? So it's just, again, it's up to Vince. But they had not made the call a week ago. Now, you know, like I said, and I know that there's forces there that don't want Lesnar there until it's a feud with Reigns. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that because that's a potential WrestleMania match, Lesnar and Reigns, I don't know that Vince will look at this and go, you know, like, Bobby Lashley beats Brock, and you bring Brock back to be world champion and have him work three matches a year at this stage. I don't know that you do that either. So there's a lot of different things you got to figure out when it comes to bringing Brock back for a match with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, I'd also be curious.
I know Bobby Lashley really wants that match, though. I also know that.
Oh, Dave, when Bobby Lashley came back into the organization, it was right around WrestleMania, and I sat on the air. It was my first show doing Sunday night's main event as opposed to The Law, and said, Lashley, Lesnar, he's being brought back for this. I'm stoked. I want to see it. Fast forward 3.5 years, we still haven't seen it. You know?
Yeah, and it is Bobby Lashley's dream match. So, yeah. You know, I mean, at some point... I mean, look, it's a viable match.
Yeah.
At some point. I mean, so, like when I was told no, you know, but it's always possible, I thought, yeah, you know, it is always possible, and this may be the show. Now, the question is like, you know, I don't know. I don't know that, you know, like, Vegas has never been a great WWE market. Now, they're not counting on Vegas. They're counting on people flying in. Are they going to get enough people to fly in for SummerSlam to run that stadium? And their mentality is just that people didn't come to WrestleMania this year, so they're ready for the trip.
Yeah.
And Vegas is a good place to go, and we'll find out. I mean, you know, they booked a place that holds 60,000 people for wrestling, and we'll see how they do.
They're not wrong, Dave. I mean, I've been covering this on a variety of shows on News Talk 1010 here in the city, and with Vegas opening up, you got to consider that although they don't have the exterior tourism market from other people coming into the town, what they do have is a heightened domestic tourism, simply because borders are closed. So if you're going to vacation in the United States right now as a U.S. citizen, Vegas is a key place to go. So I think that's what they're banking on.
Yeah, but also it's going to be tough for international. And
yes,
that's
for
a
sure.
lot of the when they do the big crowds at WrestleMania, a lot of those people come from Europe.
That's true. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's non-existent. It could be the offset for the heightened enthusiasm domestically. Anyhow, I've taken enough of your time. We have run out of it here on the show. Observer-wise, though, quick as opposed to what is happening and what can we look forward to in the Observer this week?
Well, you know, I mean, whatever the news is, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of WWE news now coming, you know, from when it comes to SummerSlam, especially. Mm. I guess the tickets will be on sale in a couple of weeks. You know, and then AEW follow-ups and Dominion is in a couple, you know, not a couple hours, but yeah, I mean, you know, a couple hours from when this is going to broadcast, you know, in a day. And that's one of New Japan's. I mean, it's technically, in theory, number two event of the year. I don't know if it's going to be the number two event of this year with everything going on, but it's got, Okada and Takagi's a killer main event. And whatever else happens, there's never a shortage of news, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't anticipate any new cuts, but I would have told you that a couple weeks ago, too. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? All right, Dave, always great chatting with you each and every week. People can check out your work at WrestlingObserver.com, and we will chat with you again next week at this same time. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Always tons to talk about with Dave Meltzer, so we will do it again next week. But right now, we must take a break, and then we'll come back with some turnbuckle trivia. Please release me being the theme this week. Next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Come on, darling. Hear me, darling. Cause you're a waste of time for me. I'm trying to make you see. Baby, you've just got to release me.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Boris Hagelin.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Two patrons on the line, and one of them is going to walk away with a t-shirt from... BallerGear.ca. With that in mind, we have our first competitor on the line. His name is Michael. Michael, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jason. Hope you're well.
Michael, what's your record in here? Have you won one of these guys yet?
No. So I'm 0-1, and I didn't qualify for the... For the tournament.
The tournament. All right. Well, you are playing someone who did qualify for the tournament. We got Anthony from Toronto on the line. He is your opponent. Anthony, you did well in the tournament. You're at a very noisy location, but we're going to make this work. Okay, pal?
Yeah. Sorry, Jason.
It's okay. It's all good. We're going to make it work, guys. So let's do this. Now, this week, gentlemen, we've been talking on the show about all the releases that happened. So we're calling this... Please release me this category today, and you are going to be player one, Michael, so let's get into it. Five questions each, and your first question, Michael, is going to be, Braun Strowman is a one-time WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion. Who did he defeat for the championship, Michael?
Oh, I'm going to say Goldberg.
It was Goldberg. That is a point for you. Very good. All right, Anthony, to your question now. Strowman also famously won the Raw Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 34. Who was his tag team partner at that event, Anthony? First name's fine.
Nicholas.
Yes, Nicholas, of course. He was actually the son of John Cone, the referee, but that ridiculousness that happened at that WrestleMania. All right, Michael, back to you. What was Ruby Riott's gimmick name on the indie scene?
Oh.
Ooh, a little bit harder.
I guess Ruby Go-Go.
It was not. It was Heidi Lovelace. Heidi Lovelace was the correct answer there. So no points for you. Going back over to Anthony for this one. Now, we know Riott and Liv Morgan formed the Riott Squad, but who is the original third member?
It was... She married one of the... I know she married one of the... damn it, I know it. I know who it is, but I can't remember her name.
The correct answer would have been Sarah Logan, so no point there. You're right. She married one of the Viking Raiders. And I knew you were going there, but you didn't quite get the name out. Question three over to Michael. Who was Buddy Murphy's tag team partner in NXT?
Didn't really watch him when he was on NXT.
Oh,
but,
no. Can you guess?
Oh, I can't even think of a name right now.
It was Wesley Blake was the correct answer there. We used to call them the Dubstep Cowboys. They were managed by Alexa Bliss back in the day. All right, Anthony, that does open a window here for you. What name did Aleister Black use on the independent scene?
Tommy End.
Tommy End is the correct answer. Very good. 2-1 right now for Anthony, and we flip back over. Now, ooh, this is a tough one here, Michael. But wait, Michael, where are you located?
I'm in the UK.
Okay, well, I feel like you should know this. You see, Black,
oh, no.
Black debuted in WWE under the name Tommy End, and at the 2017 UK Championship Tournament, he wrestled in a non-tournament match versus whom?
Oh, was that Neville?
Yes, it was Neville. That's the hardest question I had in here, and you being in the UK completely got that for you. Congratulations. Good memory. And now we go back over to Anthony for this one. Anthony, this is kind of difficult too. Santana Garrett worked in TNA. What was her one named character name?
Sarita.
Incorrect. It was Brittany. She played Brittany, a super... Oh, I don't want to give it away. Yeah. So, Anthony, you didn't get that point, and that does open up the door. Now, we're going to talk about Brittany, Michael, and see what your memories, if any, are. Brittany was supposed to be the super fan of which TNA talent?
I mean, the only TNA talent I can even think of I'm going to go Maria Kanellis.
It was not Maria Kanellis. I think you might be thinking of the part Allie played there where she was fantastic with Maria. No, it was Madison Rayne that she was the super fan of. Okay, so Anthony, this is it. And this is a fun question. We're going to go outside the world of wrestling, sort of, because Lana was an actress before she found herself in the world of wrestling. She appeared in two films of what Anna Kendrick franchise?
I think I know which ones they are, but I can't remember.
Well, the correct answer was Pitch Perfect. So with that, it is a 2-2 tie. And let me explain something to the listeners right now. We've had severe technical issues where neither one of these opponents can hear one another's answers, which is going to be perfect for the tiebreaker. Because you guys can't hear each other anyway. That's why I've been consciously repeating everything. This has been a complete mess, but we got through it. There's a tiebreaker now. So Anthony's going to go first for this one, and I'm not going to repeat it. Instead, I'm just going to get Michael's answer because you guys can't hear one another. So with that in mind, Anthony, closest to without going over, unless you both go over. What is the combined age of all six talent that were released this week by WWE? The combined age. And Michael, you're going to answer this next. So Anthony, go ahead. Michael can't hear your response.
125.
Okay, so that's Anthony's guess. Michael, you didn't hear it, but what's yours?
I'm going to go 171.
All right. The two guesses were 125 for Anthony, and Michael's, yours was 171. The correct answer, Anthony, there's six people there. The correct answer is 204. Michael, you've got the win in a tiebreaker. Congratulations.
Yes, brilliant. Thank you.
In one of the weirdest turnbuckle trivias, technically, that we have ever played. Anthony, thanks for playing the game. I'm sure we're going to hear from you again, and you'll be destroying someone soon. But today went to Michael. Congratulations, my friend. A t-shirt from ballergear.ca is going to be headed your way.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really looking forward to that. And I assume you played a good game, Anthony. I had no idea. So I look forward to hearing it later to find out.
Yeah, this will be one for you guys to hear a little bit later when I get it all edited and put together. What a crazy mess technically, but hopefully it sounded good to all of you out there listening to the show right now. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Joe Aguinaldo will be here, one of the hosts of All Elite Weekly, and we'll talk a little bit more about the debut of Andrade and everything throughout the world of wrestling this week. Also look ahead to the In Your House show that is happening next Sunday for WWE's NXT brand. All of that is to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
Wait, what did... What is she saying? That scream?
Did she just say Andrade El Idolo? Oh, my God, it is! Andrade El Idolo!
One of the most talented wrestlers in the world.
Please release me.
All right, well, it seems like this week has really, really been all about the releases. I mean, it's been the biggest news of the week. So although we have the host of All Elite Weekly joining me now, Joe Aguinaldo. Joe, I feel like I gotta immediately ask you about your thoughts on WWE taking away six more talent and thoughts on the ones being released and where you think they might go, and were you surprised?
Let's start with, was I surprised? Sadly, like, yes and no. I mean, we know that the WWE, you know, on an annual basis does release talent, you know, more notably around the time of WrestleMania. At least they used to do that in the past.
Yep.
So not surprised there. I'm just surprised at some of the names, and specifically like Braun Strowman and Aleister Black, because, you know, Braun Strowman was recently just near the top of your card with Drew and Bobby Lashley, and they were starting, you know, this sort of thing with Big E and Aleister Black, and all of a sudden they're gone. I will admit, too, from a personal perspective, I am disappointed that Ruby Riott got released.
You love her.
I do. I like her a lot. But, you know, she's good. I always felt she never got, like, a good shot in WWE. Like, it was always about, like, you know, like Liv Tyler or whatever. So I was surprised by that one. So, like, again, yes, I am surprised at some of the names, and specifically Braun Strowman, but no, I'm not entirely surprised. And, you know, like, I know people will argue back and forth about it's WWE's business and all that kind of stuff, but, like, the other part that, really just sort of puzzles me is that, like, they are doing amazing from a revenue, you know, like a revenue and profitability perspective. So, like, when I hear cost-cutting measures, that really irks me, because it's like, you know, I would understand that if we were, say, you know, they were touring full-time, you know, they were having normal house shows, all that fun stuff. But at this point, they're making, like, millions and billions of dollars in TV contracts. So, like, the whole idea of cost-cutting doesn't really – like, it doesn't fly with me, I guess, and especially during, you know, even, like, we're still in a pandemic, right? And on top of that, we're on the cusp of them starting to tour again. So I don't get it.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk on this show and when I do the midweek markout about how repetitive the product is. So I feel like the last thing you need to do is cut more people unless there's a new injection of new talent coming, but I don't necessarily foresee that. Now, the first thing that people jump on when people are cut is, ooh, where are they going to go? What they're going to do? Now, you cover AEW each and every week and do a detailed podcast with Lavransky about it. And the amount of people from WWE that have gone to AEW, to me, is just startling recently. And I think it was really... the pinnacle of it happened this week when we saw Andrade paired with Vicky Guerrero with Mark Henry in the ring. I talked to Meltzer about this, but to me, one too many.
Okay. Overall, I don't have an issue if a WWE person, wrestler, performer wants to go to AEW or anywhere else for that matter. But what really I would like to see AEW do, if they are in fact, you know, trying to gather up some WWE, ex-WWE talent, like, it's the women's division. Like, yeah. when Mickie James got released. Now, again, I don't, like, this is not knowing anything about, like, 90 day no complete clause and all that stuff, right? But, like, your women's division, you started to make strides. You know, you finally pulled the trigger on Britt Baker. You've got some, like, potential, like up-and-comers, like a Chris Statlander, like a Big Swole, you know, Red Velvet, sort of a while. She's still a bit away, but she's, you know, she's starting to show stuff. Jade Cargill, okay, she needs some work, but whatever. But, like, you've got Mickie James out there. You've got potentially Ruby Riott out there, Santana Garrett, and Tia Trinidad. Like, this is where I think AEW should be concentrating any sort of recruitment, because, like, you know, people may complain about, like, the ratings and signing ex-WWE wrestlers, whatever, but the biggest complaint is their women's division has been, let's say, underperforming, or, you know, and I think that's really where they should be looking at, you know, bringing in some of that talent. And again, I'm gonna use Mickie James as an example. You have, you know, some good young talent, but none of them are, like, I would call a ring general. They still need some help. So Britt Baker, as much as I like Britt Baker's character, I think she still needs to be in the ring with someone who knows how to go. And if you have somebody like a Ruby Riott, somebody like a Mickie James, someone who's got some experience that could take these younger women through how to put a match together, I really think that's what they need.
I 100% agree with you. And as you were talking there, I took a look back. April 16th, 2021, looks like when there's an announcement here for Mickie James's release, along with the crop that was Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Samoa Joe, Chelsea Green. So they're only about 45, 50 days into their release. So they've got 40 days left. That's over a month still till we see them released. And then there's another 45 days till the next crop is released. But yeah, I think that having someone like Mickie James and having Ruby Riott, or what will be Heidi Lovelace in there, are both two people that AEW should target. I also thought that the pairing of Andrade with Vicky was not something that I am interested in at all. And to go along with the women's division, Vicky now break what seems like she's not by Nyla Rose for this Britt Baker program. And that is a horrendous move, in my opinion, to put Britt Baker into a program with Nyla Rose.
Yeah, like, number one, let's go back to the Andrade thing. Now, I didn't have a problem with the Andrade, debut, but I agree with you. Like, when he came out with Vicky Guerrero, I actually told Dan on our podcast that I was like, I'm not sure I'm digging that. coming back to Nyla and Britt, here's the thing. I see this where, like, Britt, even though, like, I think the fans are going to turn her face, whether she likes it or not. I mean, you know, when she came out during that celebration, which, by the way, I know we're going to get into that. But when she came out for that celebration on Friday, I mean, everyone was doing the DMD sign. Like, she was getting some cheers out there. So I would not be shocked that during this Nyla Britt Baker program, if that is where they're going, that the fans, I think, are going to gravitate towards Britt Baker.
Don't you think it's too soon? Don't you think it's too soon to allow the fans to gravitate to her? And, like, I know they're going to, but by putting her in the match with Nyla Rose, who has come off, quote-unquote, strong heel run, like, they are basically looking at this as, well, okay, well, the fans are going to cheer for Britt, so I guess they'll throw her in with Nyla. The fans aren't supposed to cheer for Nyla, so we'll go that direction.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I would have liked to have seen I'm going to sort of reserve judgment for the build, but I get what you're saying because let's take, Steve Austin, for example, right? And not to, you know, put Britt in that category, but just from Steve just eventually the fans just decided to cheer for him, but it took a while. It wasn't like they just all of a sudden he was the good guy. You know what I mean? And it just feels like if they do this with Nyla, that is what's going to happen. She's going to become quote unquote the good guy. Cause again, I just think that the fans are going to she's already popular because of her promos, right? Yeah. Like she's already entertaining. So I think like the first or second time she's, you know, face to face with Nyla, it's going to be pretty obvious who the quote unquote baby face is.
You know what also does not help though, Joe, is the work rate in the match. I mean, that's actually my bigger concern because you already mentioned that, sure, Britt Baker has got her character in check. Yeah, but she still does need help as far as having a great match. And Sheeta is incredible, so Sheeta could provide that. Nyla Rose, though, this is not a strong first program for your champion.
No, I was kind of hoping they would do something else. Like, I don't think Thunder Rosa yet. I think that's down the road. But, like, you know, like, you could have put her in with, say, and again, look, here's the, and again, coming back to why I'm saying they need this kind of a presence in AEW is because there's not, like, very many women outside of Sheeta that you could put another girl, like, female wrestler in where they're going to walk them through a good match. Right?
It would be Riho.
Maybe like that's, and you know what, that would make even better sense because it's the ex-champ, and that'll give at least Britt an opportunity to sort of work on her game a little bit. You know, Rio does know how to work. I mean, like she had some great matches with Nyla Rose. So that would be, I think, a much better thing to do. And then sort of build up a little bit to that Nyla Britt showdown. And like, you know, like the Rio program doesn't have to be anything long. It's just, you know, get Britt warmed up, give her something easy, quote unquote, easy to ease into her title reign. I don't mind a Nyla Rose Britt Baker match, but that just felt a little soon for me when I saw that on the Friday Dynamite.
I do mind a Nyla Rose Britt Baker match. All right, let's take a closer look at Dynamite. And of course, we keep mentioning the podcast. If you don't know about it because you're listening on Terrestrial Radio, Joe Aguinaldo is the host of All Elite Weekly on our Patreon. Each and every week, he and Dan Lavransky break down Dynamite. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. A couple things I wanted to chat about for AEW. Sting. Now, Sting is on TV an awful lot, and I can't exactly tell what they're doing here. All I know is I don't like what is happening. Scorpio and Ethan Page come out this week and tell Darby to find anyone but Sting to face them. This angle is weak.
It's definitely, like, I guess what this is and is that, like, you know, you don't want Sting wrestling on TV every week. In fact, like, I sort of see where you're getting. you don't want him on every week, period, because that takes away sort of that special status. So I understand that. So it does make sense. I'm not saying it's the best way to do it, but it does make sense that Scorpio and Ethan are trying to say, hey, you know, Darby, pick someone other than Sting, because it's like, all right, then we know Sting's not wrestling, but... Yeah, I'm just wondering if they could have done that a little bit of a better way.
I don't like this pairing of Scorpio and Ethan Page. I like them both individually, and I'm not feeling what's happening here between the two of them as a pair. It's an odd couple to me. It's not gelling.
Yeah, like I agree with you. Like, I mean, I don't mind them as a tag team. I think they're both good on the mic. In fact, I think Ethan Page is actually really good on the mic. That guy's a single star waiting to happen, like, quite frankly. I don't mind them as a tag team, but I agree. I would rather see Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page as singles wrestlers. In fact, when Scorpio Sky left SCU, you know, Dan and I were kind of hoping he would get a nice singles run, like a strong singles run, especially like, you know, when he kind of turned heel after challenging for the TNT title a few months ago. So we were a little shocked when he all of a sudden got into this tag team with Ethan Page. And again, it's not horrible, but I do agree. I would rather see these two as singles.
You know who else was hoping for a singles run and was a little shocked about this? Scorpio Sky.
I knew you were going to say that.
We had him on the show 3 weeks ago, and I got that distinct feeling while speaking to him. Before we go, Joe, let's chat the bull rope match. It main evented. Dustin Rhodes winning, defeating Nick Camerato. So Dustin wins because I guess it's his specialty. All I know is I watched this match and Camerato bleeding. Dan Lavransky must have been going bananas because that's a carbon copy of Bruiser Brody that I'm watching in the ring.
Yeah, like we thought the same thing. Like he the one good thing about Camerato was that he looked strong in that entire match.
I like this guy.
Yeah, I do too. Like there were some times where Dustin would, you know, hit him in the head with the cowbell or whatever. And like there was one specific spot where I think he hit the final, like the crossroads, like his finishing move, and Camerato just kicked out at one. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to see from this guy. I think Camerato has a ton of potential. And I do. Yeah, I do think that, you know, Dustin winning sort of makes sense. I mean, Camerato is still relatively a rookie and Dustin is the veteran and this is supposed to be his family specialty match. So, you know, like I'm just glad that Camerato looks strong in that match. That was more sort of what I took out of that.
All right, Joe, we've still got SmackDown and NXT to tackle. We don't have enough time on the regular show, but here's what we're going to do. If you want, stick around for podcast listeners on the Patreon, and Joe and I are going to go through those two shows and also look ahead to next week's In Your House show. For you terrestrial peeps, well, listen, we're done for this week. We're going to be back here same time, same place next week. For more Sunday night's main event, by all means, find the podcast at snmeradio.com or, of course, become a patron at patreon.com/snmeradio. And we will talk to you next week on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it. All right, you know what comes now. This show is over, but I'm going to encourage you to join our Patreon, patreon.com/snmeradio. You get a commercial-free extended version of the Sunday Night Show, and you also get all of our podcasts. But you know that already, so sign up, would ya? Please? $1 a week, patreon.com/snmeradio.